If you place a thing in the center of your life that lacks the power to nourish, it will eventually poison everything that you are and destroy you. As simple a thing as an idea or your perspective on yourself or the world. No one can be the source of your content. It lies within, in the center.
Only with mellow are you thinking to slide through. Only with mellow are you thinking to slide through.
Don't let nothing ride you.
If the sun or the moon should give way to die,
they would immediately go out.
One swallow don't make a summer, but tomorrow has to start somewhere.
Newspapers entertain, lion tamers dying in pain. This child, wise beyond words, whose tears flow without cease.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two. It used to be the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, but it's now the most thrilling 3 hours in talk radio. I don't know exactly how I'm going to work out the intros into this thing, but hey, it's a work in progress. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I know a lot of people criticize this show because it's not very, very serious. Okay, now the way I see it, there are a shockingly large amount of boring, serious other people that you could listen to. Okay, I'm not stopping you. Go for your life, son. But if you just want to sit back, have a laugh, not get too afraid of like reality and whatnot. I know reality's scary to some people. In fact, if you have any idea what the hell is actually going on in reality, if you're not scared, you're probably pretty nuts. But yeah, the idea is just to have a few laughs to ease the tension. Okay, it's like the Terminator said, "Your levity is good. It eases tension in the fear of death." All right? I'm not kidding. He actually said that in Terminator 3. You can go watch it if you want. Now, my very special guest is Shane Warbrook, and he was in the papers recently. In fact, did they even do any news pieces on you as well there, Shane? Because we got rid of the TV as soon as it got digital. We're just like, I'm just sick of being sitting down there and getting brainwashed, bugger it.
Yeah, there are a couple of little brief news articles about it.
Is that it? Didn't get it on the TV?
Oh, a little bit, yeah. There was a mention on 3 News and on 7 Sharp, there's a little bit as well. So not heaps, but mostly been online and print journalism seems to be where it's been picked up. But usually in those little corners, you know, odd stuff, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, and we're right in the middle of it too, bro, because, what was it? David Icke, he's starting the People's Voice TV up, and he's one of the progenitors of this whole reptilian thing anyway, so he'd love to hear about that.
Yeah. We'll see if he gets in touch. I'll let you know.
Yeah, yeah. I'll flick him an email for you, bro. Yeah. Yeah, because that'd be quite classic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. be interesting to hear from him on his take of it. Yeah, I'm not a genuine, well, not a devout believer in that, but it would explain John Key's lack of humanity to a degree in a way that helps you sleep at night anyway.
Well, actually, a psychological condition would also explain it. It's called being a psychopath or a sociopath.
Yeah, yeah, that's true and very very Wall Street appropriate for Johnny.
Yeah. I watched a documentary called I Am Fishhead. Have you ever heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Bloody good, mate. It's about psychopaths on Wall Street, like literally profiling them and whatnot. And what I found very interesting is that how psychopaths actually become so good in those positions is because they make decisions without emotion, because they don't actually give a crap about anybody. What was it? They sabotage their way to the top. This is something that was happening. So let's say there's three people vying for position of CEO's assistant or something of that nature. And three guys are being looked at. Two guys are not psychopaths. They just work really hard and whatnot. One guy is a psychopath. So what he'll do is he'll sabotage those other two guys. He'll start spreading rumours about them and things of that nature, and he'll just slice their chances of getting that promotion and propel himself to the top. Through scumbaggery. Not through hard work. Through scumbaggery. And that's basically... It explains so much. I mean, let's think about this. People don't understand, you know, oh my God, how can somebody possibly justify an illegal war that kills a million Iraqis and contaminates it with depleted uranium that makes one quarter of their babies born deformed every year? Right? Nobody would be able to personally justify that to themselves, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're not a psychopath, bro.
Yeah.
Okay? If you were a psycho, it'd be perfectly justifiable, wouldn't it? Does the world suddenly make a lot more sense now? Do world events make a lot more sense? If the world was run by psychopaths, don't you think this is exactly the way things should be?
Pretty much, yeah.
And incidentally, the American Medical Journal came out with a study on this as well, that psychopaths also like to cluster in areas of power and control. And they produced a list of likely professions that you are to find these people. Business, entertainment, politics, medicine, law, and religion. What would you say are all the power centers of society that control and dictate the way we live our lives and whatnot?
Yeah, I think we're pretty well covered there. I can't think of anything that's been left off the list.
Yeah. And that's this kind of scary thought, you know, you're just sitting there and you're like, uh-oh. The people running my life don't care about me.
Yep.
I mean, they really don't. They can actually just, you know, cut my throat as soon as look at me, you know. They wouldn't care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's pretty... this perfect example is... there was an article recently by... It was written by a therapist in the States... Who'd been visited by a bunch of basically people that consider themselves one percenters, and I guess maybe these are the few that aren't quite fully psychopathic, but maybe it had rubbed off on them a bit because they had felt guilt and upset that they were being described this way. But what they did was they went to a psychiatrist to try and get rid of the feelings, not look at why they were feeling guilty. So maybe it's catching.
Have you ever heard of the ceremony of the cremation of care?
That's the name escapes me, the Grove, Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see that ceremony, I think, what was it, Alex Jones managed to sneak in there and film it. I think the video got verified. Okay. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, everything that I say is prefaced by the word allegedly, okay? Everything, like from start to finish, okay? I'm just going to cover my ass like that. There we go. That way I don't have to bear responsibility for the words of my voice. Anyway, Nixon talked about the gay sex and all of that kind of stuff going on there. And what the cremation of care is about, and this comes more to your point, is about having a child sacrifice, or rather burning a child in effigy, in order so that they can cremate their cares of the year, to cast them aside so that they don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. Mm. Doesn't sound like an entirely dissimilar reason for why those people that you were talking about want to go see those psychiatrists, is it?
Yeah, no, it's pretty much the same ideal. And I guess that ties back into the effects of belief we were talking about before as well.
Yeah. Hey, incidentally... I think, what was it, in 2008, 2009 or something like that, when the United States was starting to go through their quantitative easing? Might have been 2010. I forget the dates. Again, prefaced by the word allegedly. John Key went to the States, okay, at a time when they were in a big financial heavy. He was actually, look, they wanted him there, okay. Timmy Geithner... you know, all these big financial scum, like working the floors in the States and whatnot. She really wanted John Key to come and help them with their financial crisis. Because who would know better about a debt crisis than a man who can create one? And he went there to the States at the exact same time that Bohemian Grove was running that year. And he told everybody he was visiting northern San Francisco, exactly where the Grove is, at the exact same time that it was going on.
Right.
I can't wait for the opportunity to ask Mr. Key, did you go to the Grove, bro?
Put in a, an official information request, see what I say.
Yeah. Can you provide us any evidence whether the Prime Sinister visited Bohemian Grove and had sex with young boys? Again, allegedly. I know because that's what Nixon was talking about. He said that in public. He was like really disgusted by it, apparently.
Right.
Yeah, and gay porn stars and whatnot. The rumors are legend, and there's some people. I think Anthony J. Hilder, who wants to go for a dig. No, he seriously wants to get a whole bunch of people with shovels and whatnot and go into the Grove, into the forest around with the redwoods and everything like that, and start digging, because they reckon they're going to find a hell of a lot of discarded corpses, you know,
right.
Sacrifices and whatnot. You know, allegedly this is what's going on, and I've got no doubts that's happening. Not because, you know, I've seen direct evidence and whatnot, but because it fits the profile of a freaking psychopathic killer with unlimited power and resources. Wouldn't they want to be killing all the time? Wouldn't they want to be having debaucherous sex all the time? Wouldn't they want to be dominating other people? Wouldn't they want a whole big entourage and everything to give them all the adoration that they want because they don't really have a soul?
Yeah, well...
if they could get away with it, of course, they would. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's... That's 90% of how society functions, isn't it, is thinking that you can't get away with stuff. Or for the people that think that they shouldn't do it. It's, you've got basically your two classes of people, people who think they should do something and people who think they can't get away with something.
Yeah, and then there's low-level psychopaths who don't actually get all that powerful and stuff like that. What was it? I mentioned the American Medical Journal before and all those industries that the psychos actually make their way into. Well, it's just in general positions of power and control, but specifically those industries. And they go on to describe what these people are like, and they say they're very smiley and enchanting when you first meet them. And there's ultimately no depth to their personality, and they don't have any long-lasting relationships with people. And I was like, that's like every employer I've ever had, bro.
Yeah. Kind of explains the middle management caste, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what are we in India? Is there a caste system here? I'm a psychopath, so I'm going to be a manager. You know, I'm going to be outsourced. Apparently they don't have enough psychos in the United States, so I'm going to go and operate the call center over there and be really mean to everybody and sexually harass them.
Yeah, I think there's probably one industry that they won't need to outsource from the States. I think they'll have enough psychopaths to staff for everyone a day.
Yeah, man, our psychos are the best psychos. USA! USA! Yeah, I said the other day on Facebook because this problem's endemic. It's systemic. It's endemic. It's a pandemic. All right. And if there's psychopathic scumbaggery all over the place, you know, of course it's here in New Zealand. Of course it's there in the States. Of course it's freaking everywhere. It's in China, India, South Africa, wherever the hell you want. Psychos are running the show, pretty much. All right, just a sweeping generalization, again, backed up by the word allegedly. And New Zealand is so freaking corrupt. Like, I've just talked to so many activists who just been really badly shafted by the system and had all the rules violated, you know, like as if they didn't freaking exist, like it wasn't even there. It, like rights didn't exist. Like lawful due process didn't exist. detention with a warrant of some description, and actually being told what you're arrested for, being able to use the internet and things of that nature after your bail conditions are out. It's just really messed up crap going on in this country, man. So corrupt. And it's not being reported, okay? Which makes me believe, now this is what I was saying before, is that New Zealand is so corrupt that no corruption gets reported. Because all the people in this country whose job it is to expose corruption are freaking corrupt. It's a perfect cycle. It's got locked up, stitched up, everything happens. Okay, you know, what was the receivership deal? Do you know who Michael Stiasny is?
No, it's a new one.
All right, personal friend of John Key. You'll like him.
Yeah.
Right. Have you ever heard of a company called Quarter Mensa?
No.
Have you ever heard of the Crowfar Farms?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much one of the biggest land sales in this country's frickin' history and whatnot. And the option, okay, and the options were, who are we going to sell them to? We can either sell them to the Chinese, or we can sell them to a New Zealand conglomerate headed by Sir Michael Fay. What's Sir Michael Fay famous for? He's famous for buying up heaps of stuff and then selling it off to the Chinese. That's what you call a Faye Dunaway. And then there was what's his name, Alan Hubbard. No, yeah. They put him into statutory management without one single phone call, no investigation of any kind. And the Justice Minister at the time, who signed off on it, Simon Powers, wound up becoming one of the heads of Westpac Bank. Who does all the government banking for Westpac Bank? Oh, that's... you get the idea. I just kind of messed that one up. So don't you think that's a little bit corrupt or something? And the receivers and all of that kind of stuff for both of those really really corrupt kind of things going on, you know, lots of scumbaggery involved. Quarter Mensa, almost everything. And John Key gets personal sign off of that, and then he calls his mate in, Michael Stiasny, again allegedly, comes in, racks it up. Phil lines their pockets up and just takes it away. And nobody notices because it's so corrupt, it's so brazen, out in the frickin' open, that nobody would even believe it if you told it to them. It's that frickin' bad in this country. We may as well be run by frickin' Robert Mugabe at this point. I'm not kidding. I'm gonna call Zimbabwe. Ask to speak to Mr. Mugabe and ask him to call John Key. Give him some tips about how to properly run a government. I mean, you never know. Could work out. Couldn't be any worse than what we got going on now.
Yeah. Well, didn't Mugabe nationalise the farm? So,
Hey, he'd probably advise Mr. Key to get Quarter Mensa to do it. You know, there we go. You know, it's just so terrible. And again, if you're sitting in it, you don't even notice, do you? It's the frog in the boiling pot again, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
When did you start learning about all of this stuff? Because most people find this information quite shocking.
Bits and pieces of it. You just pick it up to go, I guess. Ever since I was a kid, I was interested in this kind of stuff to a degree, and you just find little bits and pieces here and there and everywhere, and they kind of add up, or they don't, you know, it's just about paying attention and thinking about why things are happening.
Yeah, that's your problem. Sounds about right, isn't it? You know, you need some medication, mate. You need to calm down.
Yeah.
I don't know, my Facebook status just before coming on the show today, bro, is I'd just love for one day, just for one day, not to be ridiculed for talking about conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to be nice. You're welcome break. You know, sunshine on a cloudy day kind of thing.
Yeah.
In the do what diddy diddy dum diddy do way. It doesn't feel good knowing the truth and having people call you crazy for you or just make fun of you. You know, like being belittling and that kind of thing, and thinking they're above you because they don't know anything, and you know more than they do. It's really messed up. You know, it's not like I'm trying to be disrespectful or something, but people are freaking stupid. Okay, it's a self-evident truth. All right, there was once resistance to it. There was once ridicule of the idea that people were freaking stupid. Now it's a self-evident truth. All right, Gandhi was right all along. People are freaking stupid. And for goodness sake, here's the terrible thing. They say, because people are stupid, oh, we need to tell them not even tell them, but force them to do it. All right? We need to force them to do everything. Force you to pay taxes. Force you to pay your rates. Force you to comply with the law. All of this kind of BS, right? Nobody's ever teaching anybody to be... what's that thing again? Maybe it happened in the distant past called personal responsibility. Maybe morality. Maybe sanity. Maybe actually giving a frack about anything that matters. I don't know. Shane, do you watch rugby?
Not a lot, no.
Neither. You know why? Because it's freaking pointless. If I wanted to watch guys struggling to score for 90 minutes, I'd go to a bar. There is no fucking point in it. And I remember when I was at a protest, Shane. 9/11 was an inside job protest. You reckon 9/11 is an inside job, yeah?
I don't, to be honest. But
still on the fence about it? All right, well, you know. Give or take. You know, I'll take what I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway... This dude comes up to us and he shoves me, all right? Because I'm talking about how the 9/11 family started the 9/11 truth movement and how the governments cut them off from all their health benefits because the EPA said that it was legal for them to go into ground zero when all that asbestos dust in the World Trade Center was everywhere, right? All their lungs getting torn up and they're really sick. They're all the first responders are freaking... almost dead by now, you know, dropping like flies. And government just denies it, you know, no, we're not doing anything. I was just like, well bro, I was trying to, like, speak out for those families who have been left in the cold, in the dust, right? And guy comes along and freaking shoves me. I couldn't believe it. And before that even happened, we're trying to hawk out DVDs for people, you know. Here's a 9/11 documentary. Here's a 9/11 documentary on a DVD. Here's a flyer about World Trade Center 7 and so on and so forth. Collapsed in free fall speed into its own footprint, the third building to get hit, and it didn't get to come down that day and didn't even get hit by a plane, you know. And then this council douchebag with a jacket. This is right in the middle of the Rugby World Cup season, by the way, which is incidentally right in the middle of election season. I love distraction. little council dude comes up in his bright yellow freaking jackets and said that he's going to confiscate our stuff.
Right.
All right. We're handing out information in the street, a public street, expressing freedom of speech. And not only does he say he can confiscate all of our DVDs and flyers and megaphones and everything like that, but he can even prosecute and fine us. I was just aghast. I even saw that exact same dude at a protest, not a week later, telling protesters within the protest who were hocking out freaking flyers to other protesters during a protest that they can't do it. It was freaking nuts. And I can't believe that people get so distracted so easily by sport. You know, I mean, I remember one rugby game I was watching. I got so bored watching it on TV with my flatmates that I started counting the advertisements. There were 97,
right?
97 in a commercial free, uninterrupted Sky Sport broadcast. That's not about the sportsmanship, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the money and distracting your dumb asses from anything that matters. Okay? Incidentally, that was during election season, and we had the lowest voter turnout since 1886. 1886, you say? Wasn't that before women's suffrage? Yes, it was! So women couldn't even vote back then when the voter turnout was that low. It's unbelievable! And guess who won's in by a landslide? And guess who gets left out in the cold? Eh? And guess what all the papers were saying, all leading up to that election? Oh, should we renew or should we refresh? Yeah, let's elect John Key. Oh, all that other Labour stuff's just terrible. Oh, you know, New Zealand Herald prostituting themselves. I mean, it's almost like I've developed a hate. You know, I don't think it's too strong a word for douchebag journalists. Like, I have a real disdain for them. They're so frickin' stupid. They're frickin' arrogant. They're rude. They're pushy. They're overpaid, underskilled, and undereducated. This makes me not like them. I think that's a pretty fair assessment of the situation, and I think my reaction's perfectly reasonable. Am I wrong, Shane? Am I throwing the baby out with the bathwater here?
Well, if we stick to the Herald, then yeah, internationally there's some papers that are reasonable, but yeah, locally I'm not particularly thrilled with what's on offer.
It's like, you know what the New Zealand media scene reminds me of? It reminds me of what my brother was telling me about. My mate Jono was telling me, he took his missus to Rarotonga, right, and they go to the fish market at midday, bad move, there's a hell of a lot of fish on offer, but it all smells like crap. That's the New Zealand media scene in a nutshell. It's like a fish market at midday in Rarotonga, without air conditioning, or ice. It just stinks to high heaven. It's a bit cruel, isn't it? Or accurate, yeah. One of the two.
Yeah, well, it's just, I think a big part of it is the priority of the organisation too. It's basically destined to be lowest common denominator. It's about getting into as many times as possible so you can charge as much to the advertisers as possible because your circulation numbers are as high as they can be.
Mm.
And so the way to do that is with the simplest... basically to try and make sure there's no effort required in having to read anything that's in there.
Yeah. Well, I think that's why I like actually this show in particular. Like one time I was listening to, I think, I don't know, I just felt like I wanted to listen to some talk radio, you know? Turn on one channel. Oh my God, these people are so dull. They're so boring. They're talking about nothing. Talking about cats up trees and cooking cupcakes and crap, you know? It's just not worth my frickin' time. And then you turn over to another one, and it's a fear-mongering parasite that just fills your head full of this yelling and screaming and the, oh, dear God, everything's terrible. Let's switch that off. You go in another one. And it's just some kind of ethereal wench eccentricity fest, you know? Some new age cult frickin' tone of voice that makes me want to stab myself in the earlobes with a very, very pointy screwdriver indeed, okay? It was that painful. And then I started listening to my show, and before I knew it, I'd listened to 6 commercial-free broadcasts in a row.
Right.
Because it's actually quite fun to just sit back and listen to two people like they're at a cafe, kind of having just a conversation. You know, it's not overly produced. It's not boring. You know, there's interesting stuff being talked about every single episode, and it's fun. Really, where the hell is the fun in media gone? I wonder.
Well, yeah, that's. That's kind of been focused in another direction, hasn't it? In terms of what fun media can be. And well, again, it's a bit, it's about simplification and obviousness.
Well, it needs to be original, you know? I see the same things playing out day after day, night after night. political scumbaggery, rapes, murders, car accidents, some people getting blown up overseas or something, and then a fluffy kitty.
Yeah.
Every freaking time with the fluffy kitty. I don't like the idea of the 30-second news piece. Okay. Can I ask, what's your perception of this? I mean, in terms of attention span, and the average person, who the hell knows what the average person is? Have you met the average person? I've never met the average person. Hello, no. I'm average. You know, really? You know. But with that reduced attention span down to the 30 seconds, and now this coming on, apparently what's happening is you forget the last thing that you were told because you've been told that there's something new coming up. So it doesn't actually matter what the news tells you because you forget it right after they finish the story and come up with a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So nobody's got an actual a data clock running. Okay, so let's say you actually remembered news stories, all right? Really remembered them. People would remember everything John Key said before and after the election. Wouldn't that be a frickin' disaster?
Yeah.
Doesn't happen, though, does it?
Mm.
The complacency, the inability to recall, and furthermore to that, the unwillingness to look is what tends to dominate the media scene in this country. I've seen it happen in talk radio, I've seen it happen in the print media, and I've seen it happen on the TV, of course, right? A residual, gradual dumbing down of the information to the point where they can talk for pages or minutes or hours and not actually increase the general knowledge base of a listener one frickin' iota. That disgusts me. They've made an art form out of bullshitting people for a frickin' living. That disgusts me. It really disappoints me too. There could be some air of patriotism, honor, pride, discipline of some description. No. No. Prostatize yourself. I was just thinking about this the other day. You know how they're all wearing suits? Well, apparently there's a lot of symbolism in the suit. A lot of it. What do you normally got around your neck? The collar, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you got around your wrists? The cuffs, isn't it? And what do you got around your neck? You got a tie? So you got a noose around your neck. And a collar, and cuffs around your wrists, and you think that you're free. Is that what you're trying to tell me, Mr. Newsman? As you say there in your respectful, very, very monotonous voice, and attempt to bullshit people into thinking that you know what you're talking about. Right? That stuff really irks me. It's like people love their slavery. They love their servitude. They love not having to think.
Mm. Yeah, well, people do. People do. If you don't have to think, you don't have to consider what actions are your responsibility, what parts of your life are your own responsibility. So it's a pretty nice thing to not have to do, really.
I don't know. I think, you know, we were talking before about, you know, having faith and just the very benefits of it. I was just kind of thinking about these people because I talk with journalists on occasion. Some are good. Well, actually, very, very few are good. On the whole, the ones that I've been doing, I think the word I would use is soullessness.
Mm-hmm.
Soulless. You know, you look in their eyes and there's nothing there. You don't get the sense that they're genuine, like they care about anything other than themselves. Like, not entirely like a psycho, but they're just scum, you know? Like, they've got nothing positive to contribute to the world. And so naturally, they tell everybody about the useless stuff that goes on in it for a living. I mean, have you noticed this exact same trend that I have, haven't you?
Well, in journalists personally,
yeah.
Well, I haven't really talked to a lot, to be honest. So
you're never going to protest.
To avoid that.
You're trying to avoid it.
I've been to a couple, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just get the feeling that they think that they're better than you. You know? You ever meet people like that, you know, you just get the impression that they're they consider themselves a cut above everybody else. They refer to, in fact, this happened to me in the Journalists Association. I was told by one of the people in there that this Journalists Association group is for reputable journalists, not the unwashed masses.
Right.
And that actually really struck a chord with me because, you know, occasionally I go a whole day without a shower, you know? And and I'm massive too. I'm 6'4", you know? I feel kind of unwashed and massive at some time, you know? I kind of feel like one of the unwashed masses. I am. In fact, we all frickin' are, all right? I think people sit in their little miniature ivory towers with their bonsai trees and what have you, and they look over the table of miniatures and they think that they're big. It's like, bro, you're a cockroach, okay? You've got no soul. You've got no purpose in life. You misinform and reinforce moral decay in society for a job. Okay, you got nothing to be proud of. I'm going off on a real rant tonight, eh? I'm just effed off today, Shane. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I hope you're enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like you say, the show's entertaining.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And the other part of the thing, hell, I think I've got an addicted chain. Like I you know how somebody are like they'll try a pee and then they're like, no, I don't know, I really don't like that or whatever. And then before you know it, they're hooked. You know, I like tried insulting politicians and journalists and general assorted scum. And they're like, no, that's bad. I shouldn't do that. And then I'm hooked. I just can't help myself. You know, I'll go to rehab and then, you know, have like a 72-hour news blackout, and then as soon as the news comes back on, I'm back to the abuse, you know? You know? It's just relentless. I can't help it. I mean, maybe because I think it's justifiable. I mean, seriously, how much abuse of the media do you hear in the media? You don't, because it's the fox guarding the hen house. They won't criticise their own pathetic dinosaur establishment that has no frickin' value or relevance anymore. Would they? You know?
Yeah, of course not.
It's just frickin' clique. You know, these pathetic scum. So now they're drinking their Heinekens and then doing crystal meth on the weekends and whatnot, and coming in and doing the early morning show and what have you. In fact, that's been exposed, hasn't it? There was some kind of news broadcast. Was it Darren McDonald or something like that a number of years ago? He got busted doing a whole lot of pee and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and apparently the drug scene is rampant throughout the media, rampant throughout everything, wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it be? I mean, what happens to rich and powerful and well-connected people in a society where drugs are illegal? Well, they find really good drugs, don't they? I mean, it's not rocket science. Although they did use them to manufacture the drugs. And apparently the cops are knee-deep in this stuff as well. And, you know, actually, I'm starting to get sick of all forms of officialdom. You know? You can't go cold turkey from them because they're always in your face. You always got to pay rent or bills or something like that. There's always somebody who wants to boss you around. There's always somebody with some kind of authority over you that doesn't give a crap about you. They don't even ask how you are before they start raping you. You know, not literally. Well, in some cases, literally. Especially if you're the New Zealand police. No. They don't rape people. They just let people get raped and don't arrest the people that admit that they're doing it and put the videos up on YouTube. No. The police don't arrest those people. What they do is they try to fine and prosecute, what was his name, Bomber Bradbury, for criticising them over it. Okay, because allegedly they think that people reporting on them not arresting known rapists gives them a bad name, right? Apparently. How about this, cops? How about instead of prosecuting the people who report that you're not arresting the rapist, why don't you just arrest the rapist? How about that for your PR? Okay? Am I wrong? Have I blown this out of proportion? I don't think so. And how about stop killing people or stop violently assaulting people for absolutely no reason? How about not, getting up in people's faces when they're perfectly calm and telling them to calm down in order to try and get a rise out of them so that they try and push you out of their personal space? How about not agitating? You know? The societal problems that we've got, Shane, are endless. Frickin' endless. And the reason why they're endless is because one person can't solve them, because the problem is nobody's frickin' responsible for their actions anymore. Nobody! Especially if you're wearing a uniform. Especially if you're one of the criminal cabal that run this frickin' country. Especially if you're one of the criminal banksters that run them. And especially if you're one of the massive satanic pedophile cults that run that. it's just like this, have you heard of the fractal universe theory, Shane?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
All right. And for those in the listening audience, if you don't know what the fractal universe thing is, okay, basically it's like a hologram, okay? Let's say you got a picture of a peacock's tail feather or something like that, all right? And you're zooming in, and in each pixel of the peacock's tail feather, another peacock's tail feather picture comes up. Amazing! And then you zoom into that, and then another one comes up. And that's kind of the system of the fractal universe, you know? Planets become atoms when you're zooming out, you know? And you know, it works the reverse as well. What I've discovered is another phenomenon that has to do with scumbaggery. Fractal scumbaggery. For each instance of scumbaggery you start looking into, a whole new universe of scumbaggery starts coming to light. And then you look into that whole new universe of scumbaggery, and yet another universe of scumbaggery starts enveloping out in front of your eyes. That's how bad it's gotten, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not joking. I may be taking it a little bit too seriously. Not too seriously, I hope, but if you... How could I ever accuse myself of taking things too seriously? I mean, do I listen to myself? Unbelievable. And you can get stressed out about this. You know, you can. I remember for a point then... Maybe now's not a good time example to bring this up as a counter position, but I used to be really, really angry and yelling and yelling all the time. I guess I still am. I just feel better about it, I guess. You know? You get it out of your system. And you're like, the scumbaggery I hated, you know. At least I haven't been arrested in many years, you know? At least I haven't felt that cold kiss of the cuffs around my wrists, you know? At least I'm not wearing a monkey suit and going in to sell bullshit for a living. I think I've kind of carved out my piece of society here. You know what I'm saying, Shane? I've kind of defined myself as somewhat different to the rest of the clowns in this country. Not to call everybody clowns. I mean, you know, we're all kind of characters in our own way, aren't we? But yeah. Yeah, I think that's actually the fun point about it is that it doesn't matter how many forces there are trying to coerce your conformity. You can always stand out. Haven't you ever found that, Shane?
Yeah. It can be as simple as saying no. It can be the simplest thing.
It's one of the most powerful words in the English language, that, and ironically, one of the shortest.
Yeah.
You know? And ironically, saying no is one of the shortest words in the English language, apart from or a. What do you mean? And one of the longest words in the English language. Incidentally, I think its kind of root meaning also corresponds with the word no. It's anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Mm.
Yeah. Which all stems from going, no! There you go. It is the start and the beginning. It is the alpha and the omega. No! Excuse me, I'm going to I'm John Key. Who's John Key? Well, I'm a criminal bankster, scumbag. I'd love it if they were honest about it, you know. John Key walks into your house like a mafia don, you know. He's got goons and stuff, you know. They carry Tommy guns like Prohibition era weaponry. They just stand over you and just start taking your money. It's like, what are you doing, bro? I'm selling your assets. It's going to be good, you know. And we're going to... Give me a second. I'll get myself into hysterics here. Excuse me. We need to sell all your assets. And I can guarantee you that if you sell the family silverware, it's going to work out very well for everybody. Because we're going to put a whole lot of that cash that we get from selling all of those things that you use to heat your homes to educate your children into thinking that they don't need heat in their homes no more. It's going to work out just beautiful. You got to be freaking kidding me. It's extraordinary. I'm sorry, I'm ranting quite profusely here. Incidentally, sweating quite profusely as well. I've just noticed how badly just hot my office is getting. I've got like these two computers and like a giant LCD screen behind me and these studio lights and all of this kind of stuff. Honestly, I need like a towel and some form of assistant, like the nurses in the surgery scenes and stuff like that to clean that drip. Was that a bit sharp with the imagery there? I'll take that as a yes.
Not at all.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm glad I'm keeping it PG. I'm really on a roll tonight, eh? I love it when I'm angry sometimes because it actually forces me to laugh about all the stuff that I'm really pissed off about, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's actually quite cathartic in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's stops it from being something that's stewing into something that maybe something can be done about.
Yeah. Or something you don't really have to do anything about because you cackled enough and you've got enough endorphins that you're not worried enough about it anymore.
Well, yeah. that's always the simpler of the two, isn't it?
Freaking double-edged sword, that shit, eh? You know, it's like you're trying to expose scumbag. You know, I think you can like get to work. You know, for me, getting to work is like going from the bedroom to the office. But you get to work, and you know, you're labouring on in there, and you got to work all day, and in the hot sun and whatnot, or in my case, the hot studio, and You kind of wonder, what am I actually doing this for? What is it even leading to? Am I even contributing something that is valuable to society? Right? How many people question that of themselves on a daily basis? Not many, if any. If there was a rap tune involved, and it occurs to me as well that because I question this of myself every day, I'm spending more time questioning whether or not I'm doing good than actually just getting on with the doing the good part. It's freaking stupid. It's like I'm trying to outsmart myself. Have you ever done that? You know, like you hide something and then you forget about it and then you find it later. It's like, yeah, there it is. I outsmarted myself again.
On a daily basis.
Yeah.
I think if I put somewhere safe, the only person it's safe from is me. If I put something somewhere where I'll remember it, then it's pretty much guaranteed that I won't.
Yeah. It's like I'm so stupid that I'm freaking genius. You know, it's like when you do the angles and stuff like that, like 180 degrees, 360 degrees and what have you, and it just goes round and round and round, apparently you can become so stupid that you become intelligent.
Right.
I mean, there's no bottom point. It's got to come round back the other way, you know, a cyclical universe or something. I don't know. Maybe just intelligent people trying to outsmart themselves is like trying to play chess against yourself. You know you're going to win. You know, because you're only as good as your opponent. You get over it, though. And I think when I got off of work, bro, I was actually really, really depressed, actually. Like, incredibly freaking angry all the time. Really, really. Just argumentative, cursing under my breath and stuff like that. And high every freaking day of the week. Just so that I wouldn't snap. You know, it was really freaking stressful finding out all this stuff. I couldn't freaking hack it, mate. To be honest. And I think it was just because I had support, you know. I had a few friends, had a my lovely wife, and I had the desire to go out and expose some scumbaggery at protests and whatnot and film people.
Mm-hmm.
Put them up there and as you work, as you hone your craft, you get noticed by people. And it actually feels good to be noticed. It feels good to be appreciated for the good work that you do, right? And it's so seldom a thing that we do for people in this society. That's why I like what I do, is because I get to give good appreciation and airtime to people who aren't doing terrible things to the society. Unlike the mainstream media, who do the exact opposite. They only give airtime to people who are scum. You know, pretty much. You think mm-hmm. about that? Like, in general?
Yeah, well, it basically comes down to the goal is to sell advertisements, and the goal of the advertisers has nothing to do with you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So, baseline for me, it's that simple.
Yeah. Money, eh? It can really rule your life quite easily.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anybody who disagrees with me on that statement, tell me money didn't rule my life. Okay, bro. Are you living in rented accommodation? What happens when you don't pay your rent? You're on the street, you're on your ass. Money rules your life. Okay? Shut up. And you know the worst part about it is there's a bunch of criminal scum who don't care about your life, who control all the money, which controls your life. So the thing that controls your life doesn't care about your life. It's a vicious cycle. More scumbaggery. Every single day keeps accruing. There's just no end to it. It's almost like, you know, when they first settled New Zealand and things like that, they found all these great places to build things, like swamps, like Christchurch. Oh, look, it's a massive fucking swamp. That's a great place to raise a city. You freaking idiot! All right. What happens when an earthquake happens? Well, it'll all sink down and mush. We'll lose a couple of suburbs, but it'll be okay. We'll just bail out all the insurance companies who can't pay for it. Yeah. Brilliant piece of engineering work there, bro. What about Auckland? Oh, look, it's a giant rainforest. It's humid as fuck. And it rains all the fucking time. Brilliant. You freaking idiot. Right. And see, this is what's happened. It's almost like Chinese whispers of stupidity, all right? Somebody whispers something stupid in your ear, and then you just echo that even more moronically, and it just keeps getting worse. In the end, nobody can even understand how ridiculous it is. Okay, it's getting blown out of proportion. There's so much scumbaggery that the human mind cannot even fathom it. Right, that's my theory, that I'll never actually be able to understand the level of scumbaggery that is going on in this country at any given time. It's not possible. There's just too much of it. All right? It's like if, I don't know. I remember seeing this this movie called Beer Fest or something like that. I'm not sure if you've ever seen this, but these guys are going to this big drinking competition. And their beer drinking rivals wanted to sabotage them by killing one of the guys, by drowning him in a beer vat, their best drinker. And the guy tried to survive by trying to drink the beer vat. And it didn't work, okay? It didn't work. And that's what we've got going on right now. We're like, oh, go on to get along and whatever. Dude, you're drowning in a beer vat. Drinking it ain't going to work. Swim! Swim, baby! Find shelter. Something. For goodness sake. Just change direction. Take a risk. It can't be any worse than what we've got now, bro. It's just getting worse and worse. Okay, I don't know. Take a sledgehammer to the crappy bird bath in the front of your frickin' condo establishment. I don't care. Just change something. Take a risk. It can't get any worse. Actually, it probably will get worse. What am I talking about? Probably. It will get worse, okay? I guarantee. Okay? Look, don't worry. It's just the end of the world, okay? That's my motto. All right, we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Again, reminder, listener-supported broadcast. I don't know why anybody would listen to this after a broadcast like this, but you go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and give me money. I'm not kidding, by the way. I might be laughing, but I'm not joking, alright? I desperately need your money. Okay. I'm getting into hysteria. I cracked me up. What can I say? What can I say? You know? I'm inexcusable. I'm just a terrible broadcaster. Okay? I admit it. Okay? I have my flaws. That are stacked up to the ceiling, ironically enough. We'll be right back after the break. Anyway, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you go anywhere.
I see you walking in the club, making moves, getting love, you know you're sexy. Walking through the disco noise, kissing girls, kissing boys, it's all the same. But I don't care. You're making love to the music, I'm your DJ, make you lose it, cause you love me, yeah, you love me. I'll make the bass line nice and deep.